chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. I want you to see it out of Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. So I don't have it up on the overhead, and very, very many times this morning I'll have different translations up there, but I want you to see it out of your own Bible. So turn to Ephesians 5 and verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators, and we understand that word means mimics, be imitators, mimics of God as dear children. Mimic what he does. Follow what he does, just like children do with their parents. Verse 2. Walk in how? In what?
Love.
In love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Mimic him. Be like him. Walk like him, loving others, loving him. And it's a giving love that continues to minister. And it's a sacrificial love when you've got a problem with other people. And I know you're so holy, you never have problems with others that ever causes you any heartache. But when you do, if you do, the Lord says, I want you to give love away to those people. I don't want you to worry about what you're getting. I want you to give. Give like Jesus did. And when there's a sacrifice in that way, there's a sweet incense that rises to God from the surrender that takes place in your life. How many know that sometimes it just takes surrendering to your pride to heal a relationship?
Yeah, that's right.
How many know it ain't easy?
Yeah.
It ain't easy. It takes Jesus' help, doesn't it? But when you will surrender and build that bridge, God will restore, and he looks on that surrender as a sweet-smelling incense, a savor, just like the burnt offering in the Old Testament at the tabernacle of Moses. Mimic him. Love like that. Again, I want to repeat. Remember, the apostle is writing to his sons and daughters, some of his favorites in the Lord from the city of Ephesus. He's writing to them from a Roman jail cell these words because this stuff is so important that you not live like the Gentiles. You're surrounded by people that don't know the Lord. How many know? Welcome to America.
Yeah.
Welcome to your city and mine. Welcome to your neighborhood and mine. We're surrounded by people who don't know the Lord. And so what are we to live like? We are to live like Jesus. Live like Christ in this earth today. And having Jesus in us impacts what we think, what we do, how we act. Just like the prophetic words this morning, we let him flow through us. Now, we see verses 1 and 2 are the heartbeat of why we do this. And now this morning, starting in verse 3, we're going to go into some very practical, tangible elements. Listen to the word. Ephesians chapter 5. Watch it in your own Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Ephesians 5, 3 and 4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor of course jesting, which are not fitting, but rather, how does it finish? Giving of what?
Thanks.
Giving of thanks. This first section, point number one, talk the talk. Look at each other and say, talk the talk, why don't you?
Talk the talk.
Talk the talk. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, don't even let it be named. It's not fitting. Don't be filthy. Don't be foolishly speaking. Don't have coarse jesting. But rather, Christians, Paul is writing his sons and daughters in the faith. This is so important. I want you to get this. Don't give your mouth to the other, but Christians, be giving thanks. Practice giving thanks. Live giving thanks. The Bible says, out of the heart, the mouth, what? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in your heart should be that which gives thanksgiving. How many are thankful Jesus lives in your heart this morning?
Yeah.
Punch your neighbor in the arm and say, are you happy that Jesus is inside? Then let your mouth tell the story. Let that thanksgiving come out of your spirit. Listen, these things that are listed in these verses, verses 3 through 4, are the sins of our own age. Church, it's the sins, it's the fool's gold of every age for thousands of years. I used to think that our parents and grandparents' generation were the really moral ones, you know, kept the line straight. Then I moved to Port Ludlow. I never met so many old sinners. That's because I've been hanging around a bunch of college kid centers for a long time. But guess what? It's like that in every community. It's not just Port Ludlow. But you go to any of these communities, and people are shacking up, and they're doing all sorts of things, and trading around husbands and wives. Look at the entertainment medium, and you go, what is our country coming to? Sin and more sin. What do they need? Jesus and more Jesus. So Paul is saying, look, you're surrounded by this stuff. Face it. Get a grip on it. That's the way it is. So how are you to be in this earth? And it's crucial how you live. It's vital how you walk. It's vital what you're thinking and how you talk. Because everybody, whether they want to say it or not, they're looking at you.
That's right.
Hmm. So talk the talk. Do you know one of the fastest growing population of AIDS in our society are the elderly in assisted care living homes? It's literally exploding. Why? Because there's elderly as well as the young who need Jesus.
That's right.
And there's a lot fooling around going on. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Don't look at me so holy. Come on, somebody say, amen, you're right. You're right. See it? So they're looking at each other and say, he's right. Listen, there was a news story. Maybe you saw the news story the other day. This was one busy guy, a guy who had 8 women he was bilking out of their funds.
Yeah.
And this one gal got a grip. She finally understood what he was doing. And so she calls him up, smart lady, she calls him up, and she says, hey, I just got a big tax refund coming back to me. I need help spending it. And he says, I'll be right on over. In the meantime, she called the cops. And when he arrived, he got busted.
Right.
8 women. He must have been awfully tired. But what's the spirit? Now listen carefully. Watch with this. What's the spirit behind all this? It's a spirit to get. It's a spirit of covetousness, lust, greed. It's all I want for me, for self. It's a spirit of demanding and covetousness, craving, whether it's sexual sin or lust for possessions. It's that spirit of I want it for me. And what did Jesus come to do? Set you free, forgive you, redeem you, so you could give. Love away. It's a world of difference, church. A world of difference. Fornication. Watch. Let's just go through these words. What's fornication? The word is porneia in the Greek. And it literally means harlotry. It includes adultery. It includes incest. And it's idolatry. Fornication is making an idol of sex or of the other sex or in our society today of the same sex. But it's I want what I want and I want it now. I will not discipline myself to wait appropriately for marriage. I won't discipline myself to have it with my own spouse. I want what I want when I want. And guess what? We've got a whole society dedicated to sex. So what's wrong with that? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with that. It's a demonic lust and greed, and it's the opposite of the Spirit of the Lord.
Right.
And you watch. The people that have given themselves to it, no matter how they want to pat each other on the back and say it's fine, at the end of the day, go home if they're not completely seared in heart and conscience, empty, lonely, and knowing their shame in what they've done. Now, you don't have to fit into one of these sins, but anybody in this room ever been involved in sin? Besides me? What's the end result of sin? Brokenness, loneliness, emptiness. Emptiness, because you know you're not doing the right thing and there's no satisfaction in it. Hey, guess what? That gets free when you get Jesus. When he comes into your heart, forgives you, man, the weights are taken off your shoulder and there's deliverance and there's freedom and there's joy. And all of a sudden, instead of going to get from you, I want to come give the love of Jesus to you. That's what Paul's saying here. So uncleanness, physical or moral impurity, covetousness, an avariciousness, and it means by implication, it's implying there's fraud. I want to defraud you. I want what you got. And I'm going to take it from you. Extortion. Filthiness. What he's saying is, let there be no filthiness in your talk, shamefulness or obscenity. Church, four-year-old kids, younger than that, F-word, constantly. Yeah. Where do you think they're learning it?
From
their parents and from the media. Foolish talking, silly talk, buffoonery. Coarse jesting, witticism in a vulgar sense, ribaldry. What it means is, you've all heard it, sexual innuendo, the double entendre kind of statements where you end up, where even if it may seem a little funny, you end up feeling terribly uncomfortable because it's unclean. And it has to do with a sexual ribaldry at the root of it where it's inappropriate, it's wrong. And you know in your heart of hearts it's wrong. Listen, take a look at that coarse jesting and look at 90 to 95% of the humor on television nowadays in our sitcoms. You know what I'm saying? I'm not just trying to be a prude, guys. You know, one of the last concerts we did in Pullman, I was the general manager of our radio station, Praise and Worship radio station. We would bring in concerts. One of the last concerts we did before I left Pullman was a clean comic. And he was as funny as he could be. And it was clean. And there wasn't that grating in the soul where you knew it was kind of funny, but why am I laughing at this? And you feel like you need to take a shower afterwards. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm in the right crowd. That's why some of us like to look back on the old stuff from Red Skelton and some of the different comics who maybe their lives weren't all perfect, but usually the comedy was cleaner. But this is all about people living for self and what's your talk. It's not fitting. Paul says, it's not fitting. It's not proper. So what is proper for a Christian? Giving thanks. How many know you don't go into those pastures if your mouth is busy giving thanks to God for his blessings? Thanking because you're forgiven. Thanking him because you've received his love and you're clean and you got a new start and now you've got something clean to give away. So what's your talk? Giving thanks. Sexual sin, wanting something that you don't have. Adultery, wanting someone else you don't have. Homosexuality, wanting another sex that you shouldn't want according to the scriptures. Fornication, sexual activity with animals. How many understand there's a huge, not huge, but there is a very vehemently vocal group of people that are trying to teach our societies that sexual activity, either with children or with animals, is just fine. You read Romans, church, and you understand that when you go down a road of sin, after a while you are given over to worse and worse and worse, and you don't even think it's bad after a while. See? It's lust. It's craving to get rather than give away. Hey, remember, you know, millions of people are doing it, right? Millions of people are doing it. Does that make it right?
No.
How about when you were a little kid? Did your parents ever look at you and say, okay, well, if your friend wants you to jump off the cliff with them, are you gonna?
Yeah.
Did you ever say that to your kid?
Yeah.
I did. So, it doesn't matter if millions say it's right, if God says it's wrong. Can God forgive this? Absolutely. Thank God. Such were some of us, the Bible says. But God can forgive and redeem. Watch this, verses 5 through 7 in your book. 5 through 7 in your Bible. 5 through 7 now. For you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Please say that phrase with me, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sins of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. So he goes through the list again. This is virtually the same list as it was just previously. And he repeats it. It's so important. If it's repeated in the scripture, he said, really, really, really wake up to this. Paul's writing from a jail cell in Rome and said, this is so important. This is what was all around in Ephesus. This is what's going to tempt you. This is what's going to deceive you. This is what people want you to do. And you need to live differently. Just like in our country, in our cities today. A fornicator, in this word, this is meaning a male prostitute, a debauchee, living for lust and liberty and lust. Somebody unclean is demonically impure. Somebody covetous, a defrauder, eager for gain and getting it from you. An idolater is an image worshiper. Those living habitually for self and wicked lust who crave and demand, habitually living this way, are not saved. If you're saved, you're not living this way. If you've given your life to Jesus, you're not living this way. Now, some Christians choose and make and do sin. But if your heart is grieved and your spirit is broken, Paul says, as a Christian, you can't habitually live there. And so you know that you have the Spirit of the Lord working inside of you if there's that grief. If there's no grief, it's time for you to get saved.
Amen?
Amen? There's no degree to sin, church. Jesus can forgive any and all of this. If anyone's secretly living there, if you're here this morning and you're secretly living in this list, even in your heart of hearts or your mind of minds, it's time to get clean and let Jesus wash you clean by the blood he shed at the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
And let your heart be set free so you can demonstrate the fruits of righteousness. Now watch this. This is interesting. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Remember, what's this section called? Talk the talk. Talk the talk. Say it backwards. Talk the... Oh. Let no one deceive you with empty words. The world says these are just weaknesses of human nature. One must give in to these things. Everyone's doing it, and you must sow your wild oats while you're young and or as you're older. God won't judge. Look at TV, look at movies, look at our entertainment. Paul says, don't partake of these sins. Watch this. So you know what was going on culturally. Listen to this. There was a desperate need to wake up the culture of Ephesus. Athenaeus was an author of materials in these days in Ephesus. And he writes historically that the people of Ephesus were addicted to luxury, to effeminacy, and he tells us that there was a very famous woman who was one of their secret society sects, S-E-C-T-S, who brought a huge number of beautiful women into Greece and filled the country with prostitutes. The Ephesians had dedicated temples to the prostitute Venus. And listen to the quote. Just listen to the quote. This is true historically what was happening in the day when Paul wrote this. Listen to the quote. We have horrors for our pleasure, harlots for our daily use, and wives for the procreation of legitimate children and for the faithful preservation of our property. Through the whole of this book, this author writes that there were the most abominable practices taking place among the Greeks. And the high estimation, the high public value put on the public prostitutes. The lawgivers, and the greatest among them, the wisest philosophers among the Greeks, completely supported this system. We have wives for our legitimate children, and our society is riddled with the rest. And therefore, at the root of their philosophies was this covetous, greedy, lustful, wicked spirit that drove their philosophies. And that's why Paul says, don't be deceived by their empty, vain words. This is at the root. And it's time for you and I to live something different. Now look, church, I'm an encourager. I don't usually spend my whole messages talking about thou shalt not smoke, thou shalt not chew, thou shalt not run with those who do. But you know what? Paul says this is important enough to write about from a Roman cell. It's important enough for me as your pastor to help us remember what does the Word of God say. And we need a lot more preaching about this kind of stuff in our society nowadays. Watch your mouth. Talk the right talk. Let your heart... What's the antidote?
Give
thanks. The antidote to stay out of this stuff? Give thanks. And be thankful. And keep giving praise and thanks to God. And your mouth won't go that way. All right. So first is talk the talk. Number two, shine the light. Say it to each other. Shine the light. 5, verses 8 through 14. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what's acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will what? Give you light. How do you shine the light? You be the light. Where does Jesus live? Come on, church. Where does Jesus live? So he fills you with his what? His light. So therefore, go out and just be the light. Shine up. Now you are the light. Don't just go preach to people. Go be the light. When you walk into the grocery store, when you walk home to your family, when you walk up to your neighbors and people that don't know him, just shine. Turn to each other, smile at each other really big. Hopefully you've brushed your teeth this morning. Shine really big at each other. Just shine at each other. Big smile. Be the light. What is the best way to scatter the darkness? Preach to it? Shine the light on it. Turn the light switch on. And the darkness has to flee. Each of us know what it's like to have in our own lives unfruitful works of darkness. And Jesus comes and he flips the light on.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, when we wake up to understand what it is, what do? We go, forgive me, Lord. I repent, Jesus. The light's come on. I saw the light. Don't have, he says, intimate fellowship with. Don't be a co-participator with those barren, unfruitful works of darkness, those empty things that bear no fruits. Not just no fruit, though. If you get yourself to this stuff, it's bad fruit. You ever try to pick up an apple and one side looks good and you think, oh man, I'm going to enjoy this, and all of a sudden you turn it around and rotten on the other side? When the world comes to eat of the good things of Jesus, let's give them good fruit.
Yes, amen.
I remember in high school, and I had been radically saved. We had a revival in the north end of Seattle at my high school, and my life was totally changing. But then I made some choices after a while, and I started to do some of the things that I'd done before. And my mom and my dad, one night, were sitting in the living room with me. And this is about all they said. They looked at me and they said, you need to get yourself back to that youth meeting where you were going. Because we know something's not right. When you harden your heart and walk away, the fruit's bad. And people can see. So, let the light shine and keep the fruit good. We're not created for acts of sin. We're created for righteousness. You were created to do great things in the Lord. Turn to each other and say, you're created to do great things. We're the light of Jesus in the earth. We're to shine his light. We're to shine him. And when you do that, you can't help but expose the works of darkness. Paul says, don't even speak of the shameful things. Listen, you know what that's all about? The root of that culturally? There were secret societies all through Ephesus, all through Rome, all through Italy, all through these places. Secret societies where they had secret truths. And what they really did is they met late at night because they didn't dare do the things they were doing out in the light for people to see. And they were shameful, wicked, literally abominable things that they were doing. So much so that Rome and the leaders of Rome kicked these societies out of their entire country, wouldn't allow them to step foot in Rome, because even for them, they were the most abominable, wicked things that they were doing. And our land is filled with people proud of it. Forgive us, Lord. All you have to do, how do you make a cockroach and a bunch of cockroaches get out of your kitchen?
Turn the light on.
They scamper. Shine the light. Just shine the light. I used to meet with a lot of college kids, and as they were getting their foundations down, and I would have conversations with some in which they would highly defend the lifestyle they had chosen and what they were doing, and it was very, very bad. A few of them had really surrendered to the Lord, and they were confused. Should I do this or should I not? Everybody's telling me it's fine. And you know, I usually just had to ask them one question. If what you're doing is so good, if Jesus knocked on the door right then, right as you were doing that activity, would you want to invite him in to participate in it with you? And that usually stopped them, and they went, I don't think so. Usually we know what's right and what's wrong. And so we just need to listen to him and let his light shine and shine his light through us. J. Vernon McGee tells a story about a woman who came to him and she was pleading with him what to do. I keep trying to reach my husband for Jesus, and I cry with him at breakfast, and I'm pleading with him to give his life to the Lord. And I cry with him at dinner time, and I keep pleading with him. And J. Vernon McGee was pretty humorous, and he wrote, "Can you imagine sitting every day, meals twice a day with a crying woman?" And he looked at this woman, and he said, "Stop! Just stop! You need to dry your tears. You need to make him the best meals you can possibly make him. And you need to just love this man. Just have good conversations with him. Stop trying to shove things down his throat." She could hardly relate to it because she came right back at him. She says, "Wait a minute, the Lord tells us we're to be good witnesses." I think the operative was good. Operative word there. But she said, "Okay, I'll try it." Now, I can't guarantee you this result every time. Within 6 months, that husband had surrendered his life to Jesus. Because he saw the light rather than had it preached at him continually. Talk the talk. Shine the light. Walk the walk. Say it with me. Walk the walk. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Please say verse 16 with me. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Out of the New American Standard Bible, these verses. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." Out of the New Living, up on the screen. "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise." Verse 16, please read it with me. "Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days." Out of the Message. "So watch your steps. Use your head." Please read it with me. "Make the most of every chance you get." These are desperate times. Out of the NIV. "Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise." Please read it with me. "Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Adam Clark has a definition here for what walk circumspectly means. Our word circumspect, from the Latin circumspectio, or spicio, signifies to look around on all hands, to be in every way watchful, wary, and cautious, in order to avoid danger, discern enemies before they come too nigh or too close, secure a man's interest by every possible and lawful means. The original word of circumspect signifies to walk correctly, accurately, consistently, or perfectly. "Be ye who have received the truth careful of your conduct." Be careful to daily walk right with God. Walk the walk. Be careful that you don't slip. It's easy to be tempted. Church, we're not living in a vacuum. Temptation is real. The temptation that you may face may be different than the temptation I face. But it's real stuff, and every one of us needs the help of the Lord. right? I mean, it's different stuff with different folks. And when you preach a message or teach from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is usually preaching a different message all throughout the room. But let Him speak to your heart about that which applies. J. Vernon McGee also told a story. He said, you know, there's a saying that you never ask a Texan if he's a Texan. If he's a Texan, he'll let you know it without you asking. If he's not a Texan, you wouldn't want to embarrass him. He said, my friend, a Christian ought to walk in such a way that you know he's a child of God without asking him. We all need to look carefully about how we walk. What do? We understand that it's time to be ready. Be what?
Ready.
I'm sorry, be what?
Ready.
God's on the move. Jesus loves you, this I know. The Bible tells me so. And if you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, give Him your life. Surrender your life and let Him fill your heart with His life and His love so you can begin to talk the talk and shine the light and walk the walk. If you've given your life to the Lord, which most of you in this room have done, then it's time for each of us to sit up a little taller and wake up a little more and listen a little more carefully to Jesus, because there's an apostle who's given his entire life to help us be planted rightly in the Lord, who's sitting in a jail cell in Rome. He's locked up and he can't travel to the ones he loves so much and see them face to face. And so he's written some letters and he's writing to these precious people, and he's saying, I know you got a tough surrounding. I know you're the city where, remember, they brought their magic books and their idols to be burned, and it was a massive amount of money of magic arts and books burned because that's what was flooding their society. I know you're living in a place where sexual sin is all over the place on TV and in the movies and on your DVDs, and you got violence, and we wonder why people act out with weaponry. It's not the weapon's fault as much as it's the people who've given themselves over to a depraved spirit. And we got games that take off people's heads, and we see red blood but no consequences. And we wonder why there's a problem. And Jesus says, let me change you from the inside. Paul says, remember, I really want you to live different than everybody else all around. And here he says, I want you to redeem the time. And you know what that means? Buy it up.
Yep.
Some of you do some investing. And Paul is looking at you saying, all right, if you're going to buy something, I want you to buy up your time. Buy it up. Buy it up. Ransom it. Rescue it from loss. Improve your opportunities. How much time do you have left? We never know. If you knew you only had a few hours, a few days, what would you do? You know what the answer to that is? Keep walking. One foot in front of the other with Jesus. Just keep walking. One foot in front of the other, doing what He's called you to do. Buy up the time. Adam Clark said, buying up these moments which others seem to throw away. Improving every present moment. Regaining the time that you've lost. Let time be your chief commodity and deal with the time that God's given. What do you want me to do, Lord? And how do you want me to live? And how can I best demonstrate you? Buy it all up and use every portion for walking with the Lord and loving others and giving Jesus away to them and living this thing in the real way God's intended us to do. Some think that this phrase is alluding to people who are in debt and they go to their creditors and beg them for more time to be able to pay it off. And that seems to be what the Greek really is meaning. Maybe the apostle is saying, embrace every moment in your life to give glory to God. Save your own soul. And do good to everybody else around you, so your neighbors and your block and your community knows that Jesus is here. The light of God is here. Shine through us, Lord. Ephesians 5, then, to hear the completion of the matter, verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And that unwise is the Greek word aphron, and it means don't be mindless. Don't be stupid. Don't be ignorant, egotistic, rash, unbelieving. Literally, he is saying, don't be madmen as the world is and are. Walk with God and be ready. Buy up the time. Spend your life walking with Him and living Him. Talk the talk. Shine the light. And walk the walk. And Paul said, my sons, my daughters in the faith, if you'll live this way, you'll produce the best living witness to Jesus and to the gospel that anyone in Ephesus has ever seen, that anyone in your community has ever seen. Talk Him, giving thanks. Shine Him, being the light. Walk Him by buying up the time and being ready. And that's how you'll redeem the time. Let's stand. Musicians, will you come? We're going to go, Pat, to worship you, Almighty God. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to the Lord, I urge you to do so. He loves you so, so much. And there's hope that you can have in Him. He delivers, He gives strength, He gives encouragement. If you're here and you've wrestled with any of the things that we've talked about in the Scriptures this morning, we'll be here to pray for you and honored to do so, as the Lord only speaks to you because He loves you. If you're under any conviction at all, it's because the Lord wants to help you change. Because He loves you. How many know that Jesus loves you this morning?
Yes. This morning we thank you, Lord, that you are the God who does all things well. You forgive, you redeem, you wash clean by your blood and set us right on that road again. We thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. And we want to live for you, Lord. We choose this day to redeem the time, to talk the talk, to shine the light, and walk the walk. Now, Lord Jesus, we dedicate our lives to you, that as we go from this place this week, we'll go living for your purpose and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. Be released in the presence of the Lord. God bless you.